Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey. I'm standing inside at Nationals Park. It is pouring. I'm watching water cascade down into the lower bowl, but I'm assuming there's drainage that these people know how to handle their thunderstorms, because they happen here. The Skittles tarp is out on the infield, supposed to stop by game time.
The Skittles tarp?
Rain, Jay. Yeah.
Skittles,
it's roll out the rainbow, taste the rainbow. It's a tarp with Skittles on it. Anyway, Jay Posner, that's his voice back in San Diego. I assume it's not raining there. Jay, three games against the Nationals. Honestly, I don't even know who the third pitcher is, because I'm so dang excited the Padres are facing Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg.
You're probably more excited than they are at that prospect. Jeremy Hellickson will pitch on Sunday against Joey Lucchesi. Padres will have Matt Strom on the hill, the mound, tonight. I will not use that other word that you used a couple weeks ago. Starts with B. Won't use that one. You had a really good story on Matt Strom that was online yesterday in the paper today. Encourage people to check that out, sort of Strom's transition into being a starter and how much different it is. And it sounds like he really enjoys it, right? I mean, this is what he's wanted to
do. Always had this capability, and it's what they saw in him. But man, I just think it's fascinating, the mental game of everything, but,
sure,
but involved in going from reliever to starter, and you can rely on two pitches, and it's also urgent. And you're trying to get your two outs, or maybe it could be two outs. You know, your one or two innings, or maybe three innings, and then to realize, wow, I got to face guys two, three, hopefully four times, right? Like in a game. And I just think it's fascinating. I really do. And Darren Balsley was good. Matt Strom, Austin Hedges. Those are three good guys to talk pitching with. I found it. Those are kind of I like, because I like to learn something.
Right.
Strom tonight, definitely. after eight innings last time, two hits, one of them a home run, but that's it. Two hits over eight innings, 87 pitches. So looking forward to him against Scherzer.
Let's talk real quick before we get back into the National Series about what we were both there on Wednesday for Chris Paddock Day. I mean, it's hard to think that you could like keep being more impressed with Chris Paddock after what we've seen already. But for anyone to pitch like that, this was the guy's fifth start in the big leagues. He was facing a lineup that has just destroyed baseballs all over the place. We mentioned it on the last podcast, what their numbers were. I think they're averaging 6.5 runs a game. They left San Diego and what they score, like 15 last night or something. 14 or 15. Sorry. But meanwhile, Chris Paddock pitched against him, gave up one hit in the first inning, hit a guy, walked a guy, and that was it. I mean, 19 straight he retired on a really, really good lineup. And it wasn't like guys were getting good swings and chasing outfielders all over the yard or anything. I mean, he had 9 strikeouts, and he made a lot of really good hitters look really bad. And I would imagine in the clubhouse afterward, there were some guys who were really impressed with that, that have been around a while and seen a lot, as opposed to, you and I watching from the press box. What was the reaction from guys who were in the dugout and on the field with Paddock on Wednesday?
Well, it's almost, and this is the biggest compliment you can give him, it's almost become old hat for them, right? Like
five outings. It's like, oh yeah, right, we expect him to throw a one hitter.
What they saw in spring training was real. And you don't judge a lot in spring training unless a guy is just that good. And then what they've seen here, I mean, what is his worst outing? And it was a bad outing, but they were actually impressed by his three and two thirds innings, where his pitch count got up. He obviously really learned from it and how to, do different sequences and use his curveball more. And he had a bad outing against St. Louis, and he didn't allow an earned run.
Right.
He's allowed 9 hits, this season in, 27 innings. He's so composed, but they are. I say all that to say that what stands out to me the most is they're not like gushing about it, but they are impressed. Eric Hosmer, Ian Kinsler, Manny Machado, because no matter what, until you actually do it, then, major leaguers, that's what major leaguers want to see.
Course,
so they are super impressed. How about this? I think that this I might be off a game, but I think that the Mariners, who lead the majors in home runs by a lot, have not homered in 4 games this year. They didn't homer in either of their ones in San Diego.
Right.
Nick Margavich's, Chris Paddock, and the bullpen, mostly Kirby Yates, Trey Wingenter. Really, really nice. And I would say this, it was a 1-0 lead, obviously, for 8 innings the other day. But they got, in their last 3 victories, they did something that they hadn't done in the 6 losses, and that was get a lead. And actually, they hadn't done very much all season, get a lead within the first 3 innings. Their pitching staff has given up leads this year, like I think 7 times, whatever. But in 17 games, that's the only time, 17 games they've had the lead. They've won 14 of those. Their pitching staff, if this offense can give them a lead, the Padres have a real good chance of winning.
Right, right. One more thing on Paddock. Is he impressed with what he's doing, or is he just as composed and as...
Wow, you like Paddock more than me.
As level-headed as I... Well, I mean, I just can't stress how impressive that is. And it kind of gets lost, I think, a little bit. I mean, he's with the Padres, and people don't really look at... I mean, if... He retired 19 straight batters for the Mariners, a team that, you know, like we said, was leading the majors in offense. But I am fascinated with him because I just think guys like him and Tatis, to think about being able to watch these guys for the next however many years, you know, it's not a guy that you think, oh, okay, he's going to be good. Boy, I hope he plays here for 2 years. You know, the idea that we can go out and see Tatis and you know, Machado and some other guys as well, but for the next several years, and watch Paddock pitch hopefully every 5 days, you know, for that time span. From someone who likes baseball, I just think that's an exciting
Absolutely.
Time. And he seems yeah. like nothing, like he's, does he like expect this, or do you think he's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, Jay, the beauty of him, and I've tried to explain this to people who haven't maybe, you know, been around professional sports as often as I have. This is a special kid with special talent and a special focus. So, like, he has this ability, which most of us don't have, which is to both take things, like, 1 minute at a time, but also have a grand plan. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He has a grand plan, which is to pitch 20 years in the majors, you know, be the best pitcher ever, but he doesn't get overwhelmed by that. He focuses just on the moment. And anyone who's tried to do that knows how hard it is. And even for guys like this who, look, if you make the major leagues, you're just at a different mental level than most people.
Sure.
You know, at least in terms of playing this game, and certainly if you're going to be a major league starting pitcher. But that's the thing that stands out to me is, look, let me tell you something. There's some things that are, you know, I feel like are more conversation, so I won't mention them. But, like, let me see here. There's some things he talks about in terms of his plans for the future, and he's not afraid to talk about them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, at first you're like, oh man, hey Chris, how about you throw some spring training games first?
Right,
you
know, right.
How about you make the major leagues and get some outs first? But you start to realize real quick, this isn't a bad thing for him. This is who he is. So it's like, no, he's not overwhelmed. He has expected to do this. And that's what's great for me is, I mean, how many times, and it happens a lot early in your career as a sports writer, where you get sucked in by this incredible talent, and it takes so much more than that. And actually executing is a whole other thing. And to actually see it happening is very exciting for me to watch. The other thing, you said 19 straight. Okay, that's incredible. He's made 5 starts. In 3 of those starts, he's had a stretch of at least 10 batters in a row retired.
Right.
10, 13,
yeah.
and 19. I mean, this is a man who gets on a roll and, like, I mean, he is, that's it. It's over. I mean, that's incredible.
You talked about getting sucked in by somebody doing well. Wasn't there a quarterback here once who was 2-0 as a rookie? Oh, we're not going to go there. Anyway, let's go to what you're going to see this weekend in Washington. The Nationals, no Bryce Harper, obviously, and nothing this year that really stands out. I was just looking. I mean, they're 11-12. Their run differential, which we talk about on here a lot, the Padres are -13. Even though they're 14-11, the Nationals are +7, but they had a 15-1 win thrown in there. So you take that away, and they're 10-12. You know, with a -7. This Kevin, they haven't won or lost more than 2 games in a row all year.
Oh wow!
I mean, they go out there and they win a game, they lose a game, they lose a game, they win a game, that sort of thing. One piece of bad news for the Padres is it looks like Anthony Rendon might be back. As early as tonight. I don't know if their lineup's out yet as we tape this, but he's had a left elbow bruise, missed the last 5 games, and he's their best player, especially with Trey Turner. Maybe even if Trey Turner was playing, but Trey Turner has been out for a couple weeks already with a broken finger. But Rendon only has 70 at-bats this year, and he's got 10 doubles and 6 home runs. and an OPS of 1.223. So obviously much more dangerous lineup when he's in it. And they've got some other good, you know, young players that they've got in there. I mean, Juan Soto is sort of their Tatis, I think. Victor Robles, mm-hmm. another guy that's, you know, that I'm eager to see. A couple of their veterans have not been so good. Zimmerman and Dozier off to bad starts. But and their staff, you know, Scherzer and Strasburg, both of them have ERAs over four, which you certainly wouldn't expect. Their FIP numbers are much better. Scherzer's is basically half of his ERA, which I don't think you see all that often. So maybe he hasn't pitched quite as poorly as his numbers. And the Padres are going to miss Patrick Corbin, which is probably a good thing because he's been their best starter so far.
I had not looked at like Scherzer's overall numbers, which is weird, but I started to get into just the trail I went down this morning, looking at his numbers like inside the game and his, you know, strikes and his first pitch strikes and his swings and misses. And I'm like, this guy's as good as ever.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not sure what's happened. Scherzer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And their bullpen has been, I think, mostly shaky, but at the very back end, Sean Doolittle's been basically as good as Kirby Yates, one run in 11 and a third innings. But he's only had four save opportunities. I think they've only won 11. I think they've had some blowouts. He's 3-for-4 in saves. And I do want to mention,
I was going to say, if they scored 15 runs in a game, that's like six Padres games.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
They've had some blowouts, yeah.
And then there's the Trevor Rosenthal situation, which is almost painful to look at. And he's just been incredibly bad for a guy who was incredibly good for a while with St. Louis. And they gave him a week off, brought him in at Coors the other day, sort of a low leverage, they're down 6-3 in the eighth inning type of situation, hit a guy through three wild pitches, gave up three runs, and his ERA went down from 40.5 to 36.
Because he got an out.
He got three outs. He's pitched three, he's gotten nine outs this year, and he's given up 12 runs and nine walks. I mean, it's painful to look at those numbers. I can't believe how much longer can they go on?
Yeah.
Which, of course, I'm sure Padre fans asked that about a couple of their players, but we talked a lot about that the other day. What else is on your mind with the Padres here going on this road? This is an interesting little week on the road here with playing the Nationals and the Braves.
It is. I think the Nationals obviously are a quality team, and the Braves are a very quality team. And both of them are in a division where I think that they both think it's winnable, but that they have a tough road. So this is going to be a good one. I really look forward to those four against the Braves, and their pitching staff and young talent. But we'll talk about that next time.
Right.
What's on my mind? Ty France. We don't need to get into Urias. He's not here. We don't need to get into Kinsler. He is here. Again, I haven't seen the lineup. I do expect that Ty France will get a start at some point on this road trip. The challenge at second base, and I thought it was, and then you heard Andy Green talk about it. The guy's played six games in AAA at second base. This is the major leagues. Second base is not third base, but, you know, not everybody's Will Myers, right? Where you can just run him around. I haven't seen him at second, so I can't speak to it. But you could, you know, the Padres, you know, if the tarp comes off here and it has stopped raining, they'd like to see what Ty France can do out there, you know, before they put him in a game. They could, you know, that's your challenge. You're going to find a way to get Ty France some at bats, but in terms of multiple ones in a game, you know, I guess it'll be at second base, but you know, you're not going to. Manny already got his one sit for April. He's not Manny Machado, you know, with all these off days, Manny Machado's not going to sit. You know, maybe Eric Hosmer sits. Maybe that's what happens. And tomorrow they let Ty France play his another ex Aztec, Strasburg. Ty France plays first.
I wouldn't think if you're going to sit Hosmer, I wouldn't think it would be this weekend just because they're facing right-handed pitching.
So. Three righties. Yeah, I just don't know where I'm thinking this through right now. I don't know where you put Ty France in the field at this point. It's like he beat the door down with that bat, but like, wait, where's this guy going to play? I believe that Greg Garcia will play at some point here, probably this weekend. It could be tonight. I don't think so after an off day and Kinsler homered or the day before that. But that's something that Andy has basically said is definitely going to happen. He's going to get a few starts here. I mean, the kid, has 20 plate appearances, Garcia does.
Yeah,
he's their only true bench player.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, like I already talked about, the lead, this offense, just needs to be better. But we've been—I was saying that when they were 11-5. It was a little easier to say it like, "Hey, the offense needs to be better." And then the 16 losing streak, man, the offense needs to be better. It's still the case. They've won 3 in a row. They're 14-11. The offense needs to be better.
Right. No, I would agree with that. And yeah, I don't think there was anything else that I was looking to cover. And I know you've got to get downstairs here shortly to talk with the team and get some writing done, and we will talk again on Monday. No off day on the travel side here, so we'll.
This is an odd little Hot Lava podcast. Much like it's been odd recently, they had the off day, right? They had an off day after the series against the Reds, then a 2-game series, then an off day. The last game against the Mariners was 1-0, where there was a solo home run. It was like when we're talking to Andy after the game, is like. The first time I can ever remember, there was like four questions because there was nothing more to talk about. There was Paddock and there was Kinsler, and that's it. There's just not a lot going on right now.
You could have asked him the last time he saw a game in 2 hours and 5 minutes. Of course, they couldn't do that for one of those 7-10 starts.
Well, someone asked him, and I don't generally, but this is funny. We all look, if you are going to ask as many questions as those of us in the media, though this was a TV person, again, not making a judgment, just saying it was kind of funny. Someone did note the 2 hour and 5 and asked Andy at the post-game press conference, do you teach that? And Andy, to his credit, said, we kind of smirk, but Andy, you know, very good, especially on the camera. Andy can be a little, you know, can have some fun with a bad question. Uh-huh. I've been the object of that, but he smiled at me and said, you know, really like us to have been at bat a little bit longer. That's Chris Paddock going 7 innings. He not only does he work fast, he allowed 1 hit,
right.
Nobody reached base after the second. And guess what? Felix Hernandez was practically Felix Hernandez. So, no, you don't teach that. If you could, then Rob Manfred would, not need to spend as much time on his job.
Yeah, well, he would have. He'd have some mandatory classes on that immediately. So, anyway,
all
Kevin,
right.
enjoy your weekend. I think the weather's supposed to be better after tonight. So, if we get through tonight, everything should be. Should be good, and then we can worry about Atlanta next week, where it's supposed to get hot and probably humid, and I'm sure you'll love that. So,
well, we were there later in the summer last year, so this will just be a pleasure, and I will never complain about going to watch the Braves and the Padres play. So, hey, Nationals Padres 3 games. I'm looking forward to it. Jay, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you Monday. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks, Kevin.